Isaiah 52, verse 7 through 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift their voice. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into song of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arms in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God.
Thank you, Chino. This year here at Southside, our theme has been to be a church moved by the mission of God in 2016. This was to be a year about being convicted, about having our hearts stirred, our emotions moved, so that we might be a part of God's mission in the world. And I started this year by telling a story about P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum was considered America's great showman. He was an entertainer. He started a circus that is still in existence today. And I mentioned about what happened at the very end of his life, that when he was on his deathbed in 1890, the circus was playing at Madison Square Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. And according to what's recorded, the final words of P.T. Barnum were this: how are the receipts at the Madison Square Garden today? And I made the point that, you know, our final words say something about who we are and what we're concerned about and what our passion is in life. And P.T. Barnum's passion was entertainment. It was business. It was putting on a show. And so when it came time to his final words, when he was on his deathbed, what did his mind turn to? Well, it turned to his passion, entertainment. How was the show today? How many people came? How much money did we make? And I raised the question, what is it for you? What is your passion? What is it that stirs your heart? What is it that moves you? When you're on your deathbed, what are your final thoughts going to turn to? For many people in this world, it's money that moves them, or it's personal happiness or personal comfort or some other kind of thing. But that's what moves them and stirs them and causes them to make decisions in their life. But what we've tried to say this year is that for the church, for God's redeemed people, what should move us is the mission of God. That's what should be our passion. That's what should stir our emotions, is the mission of God. This truth that Chino read about in Isaiah 52, that God's redeeming the world, that through Jesus Christ, he's putting our broken world back together again. That all of heaven and earth is being reconciled back to God through Jesus. That's his mission. And he's invited you, and he's invited me. He's invited all of us to join him in this mission, to participate with him in this mission. He said, I need people, and I want you, I want the church to join with me in proclaiming salvation, in proclaiming good tidings, in proclaiming that our God reigns to the world. Our world is broken, and it needs the gospel. It needs good news, and we're to join God in bringing that. And that's what should stir our hearts. That's what should move us, the mission of God. And the question that I want us to think about this morning, we spent this whole year thinking about being moved by the mission of God. The question I want you to think about this morning is, have you been moved? Have you and your family, have you been moved? Have you been stirred to join God in his mission? We've done a lot of different things to try to stir our hearts towards God's mission. We had a whole slate of Wednesday night classes, a part of our Southside University program that Johnny Gardner leads. We had classes like loving our Muslim neighbor. We had classes on spiritual gifts. We had classes on loving our neighbors. and praying for our neighbors. We had classes on many other different topics. And all of those classes were meant to stir our hearts towards God's mission. And there are many of us here who took in those classes on Wednesday night. And I hope many of you will take some more in this next year. But for those of you that were there on Wednesday night, were you moved? In all of this discussion about the mission of God, were you moved? We did other things. We watched an advanced screening of Facing Darkness, this documentary of the Ebola epidemic and the Brantley story. Many of you got to watch that movie here in this auditorium this year. We had a Community Partners Day back in January. We invited in all these faith-based organizations and ministries, and they set up booths in our fellowship hall, and we were able to go around and see what are ways that we can cooperate with these ministries. We had this traveling exhibit called The Wall. Remember that? Where it set up in the fellowship hall and it had this list, this long list of names of people groups that are all unreached, that don't have any church of any kind, don't have, in some cases, don't even have the Bible in their language. We had this class on foster care and adoption back in January and February. And all of these things that we did were meant to stir our hearts, just to stoke the embers in the fireplace of your soul to say, hey, there's a mission out here. God's doing something, and he wants you to join him in that. And were you moved? Were you moved? I preached 5 sermon series this year, or this past year in 2016. First sermon series I preached on was on Ezekiel. And I loved preaching on Ezekiel. In fact, I might even preach again on Ezekiel this year. I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that. Ezekiel is a book about this prophet who is a refugee, actually, in the land of Babylon with a group of exiles from Israel. And he's called at the age of 30 to walk alongside these fellow refugees who are wrestling with all kinds of questions about God and faith and the future. And Ezekiel comes to give them a message. And his message is pretty much about God, about who God is. He gets this vision of a throne of God with the wheels. Remember the wheels and the wheels that can turn any direction at any time. I mentioned in this series, God doesn't live in a mobile home, but he has a mobile throne. And that's true. He has a mobile throne that can go anywhere, anytime. And the message that Ezekiel was giving the people is, God is on the move. You're wondering who God is and where God is and what God is up to? Well, he's on the move. He's on the move, doing all kinds of things. He's bringing judgment in this case, but he's also going to be offering hope. He's going to breathe life into the dead bones of Israel. He is on the move, and he's doing all of these things, both offering judgment, bringing hope. He's doing all of these things for one simple reason, because he wants you and he wants the whole world to come to know him. He's the God who desires to be known. He's the God who wants everyone in the world to know of him. He's a global God. He's a God that wants everyone to have a knowledge of who he is. And if we really engaged into the book of Ezekiel, and we really started to understand the messages about who God is, about what God wants, and what God was trying to do for those people and for the world, it should have moved us, church. It should have moved us to want to join God in his global mission. And were you moved? Were you moved? After this series, I preached a series called Jesus, a Friend of Sinners. And I mentioned in this series that phrase, a friend of sinners, we really like that phrase because we know that we're a sinner. And so we think, well, Jesus is a friend of sinners. That's great. He's a friend to me because I'm a sinner. But actually, in the first century, that phrase wasn't a compliment. It was derogatory. Because in the first century, the phrase sinner was a description, was a label for those people that you didn't want to be around, those people that were unholy, those people who you didn't want your kids playing with, those people that you didn't want to be living next to. And so when they said Jesus was a friend of sinners, that was a terrible thing to describe Jesus. And I mentioned in this series that if you really want to understand the impact of that phrase, we need to take out the word sinner. And we need to put in its place some label for those people. whomever those people are for you. So Jesus Christ, a friend of the LGBT community. Jesus Christ, a friend of the KKK. Jesus Christ, a friend of felons and addicts and prostitutes. Jesus Christ, a friend of ISIS. Now hang on a second, Steve. You can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. That can't be right. Jesus Christ can't be a friend to those people. And I mentioned in that series that what we see of Jesus in the Gospels is he's willing to step across social lines. He's willing to befriend anyone for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of redemption, for the sake of forgiveness. And he was willing to step across those lines so that person, that man or that woman, that family, so that they could come to know the good news that is found in Jesus. And we're to be the same way. We're to be the same way. That if we're following Jesus, if we claim to be followers of Jesus, we need to be willing to step across those social lines for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of redemption. And if we really engaged this series and thought about who Jesus was and how he lived and how he approached people, it should have moved us, church. It should have moved us. Where we moved. This summer, we did a series on fear called Have No Fear. Actually, there was a couple people who helped me do this series. It wasn't just me. Several people preached on this series. And I did this, wanted to do this series on fear because I knew that Satan's greatest tactic to keep a church from being on mission is fear. That's his greatest tactic. It's his best way to keep us from being on mission. And so we decided to hit this head on. We made a word cloud that showed all of our fears. If we can go to the next slide. All of our fears that we have. Someone put preaching up there, I think, is one of their fears, or preachers or something like that. But anyways, and I mentioned in this series that a lot of times we want to hide our fears and we don't want to talk about them. But actually, we need to talk about our fears. We need to get them out in the open. And we need to listen to our fears. Because when you listen to your fears, you might find out that you're holding on to something a little bit too tightly. And instead, what we need to be doing is listening to God. And so we spent some time looking at Old Testament and New Testament passages where God says over and over and over again, do not fear. Do not fear because I'm faithful. Do not fear because I love you. Do not fear because I'm the true and living God. Do not fear because I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And if we really let those scriptures speak to us, church, then our fears would start to disintegrate and we would start to have more faith in God and we would be moved by his mission. And were we moved? In the fall, I preached on the subject of Esther. I loved preaching on Esther. I loved this series entitled God's Behind the Scenes. And I mentioned in this series that it seems like in the story of Esther that God's really not in the story. His name is never mentioned. Nobody ever prays. Nobody ever quotes scripture. But yet when you scratch below the surface, God is in the story, right? He's the director. He's behind the scenes. He's the one putting people in the right place at the right time, arranging events so that his people could be saved. And I mentioned in this series that I think that's the way God works today. I don't know all the ways in which God works, but I know he's at work in our world behind the scenes. And I preached this series when I prepared to preach on Esther. My prayer is that this series would give us as a church courage. Courage. That every day God is at work. And it could be that this day or tomorrow or some other day, God is arranging a certain event, a certain conversation, a certain moment in your life where you can be a powerful impact in someone else's life. And if we really understand that, it should give us courage to step out and to join God in whatever he has in store for us. It should move us. And where you moved? Then the past couple months, I preached on Rhythms, a series where we talked about ordinary, regular practices, missional practices to live lives of mission. And we talked about six practices. Number one, the practice of having time with God. Number two, being attentive to the people that are around us. Number three, blessing those that come in our path. Number four, hospitality, inviting people into our home to sit around our table to share food with us. Number five, we talked about speaking the truth of the gospel to people. And then number six, we talked about cultivating margin. And really, this series was kind of a how-to series. For that person who says, hey, I want to be a missionary right here and right now. I can't go to Ecuador, I can't go to Ukraine, I can't go to Honduras, but I want to be a missionary right here in Fort Worth. How do I do it? Well, here's what you do. You put these six rhythms into your life on a regular, daily basis. And my goal was, is that when we see that mission is easy, being a missionary is not hard. Anybody can do it. Just put these rhythms into your life. My goal was, is that would move us, church. That would move us to be on mission every day. And were we moved? God's Spirit has been at work in so many ways this year. Whether it's through preaching or whether it's through teaching or whether it's through other things that we've done as a church, special events that we've had as a church, special things that we've done. Or maybe it's just in fellowship times that you've had with your Bible class or after worship or before class or things like that. God's Spirit has been at work, church, prompting us, stoking the fire of your heart, pushing you to join God in his mission. And were we moved by the mission of God in 2016? And the answer that I would have to give is that yes, we have been moved. Let me give you a few examples of that. God moved Virgil Palmer to start a worship service at Tandy Village for those who can't come to worship here at Southside. God moved David Goen and Chino and Sean Lynch and Melissa Mahaffey and about 20 more people to mentor a fourth grader through Academy 4 and be present at Days of All Elementary School. God moved Kent and Joan Smith to become an advocate, a passionate advocate, for Nama House in Tanzania. God moved Amber Brantley and Cindy Griffith to lead our Operation Christmas Child project that gathered dozens and dozens of boxes for children around the world. God moved Chris Jeter to start Elevate, which is a discipleship workshop for college and young adults, because we realized there was nothing like that going on in Fort Worth, and so God moved him to start that, and it happened this year. God moved Sam and Amy Morgan to get licensed to be foster care parents. God moved Tina Crouch to take the leadership of our jail ministry. God moved Laura Gonzalez to invite a friend, Yannette, to a college ministry event. And then Yannette decided to be baptized into Christ. God moved Yahida Lemus to actually move to Ecuador to join God's work there. God moved Ross and Melanie Grubbs to buy the meal of a widow that they saw at a restaurant. Saw a woman sitting by herself eating a bowl of soup of some kind. And thought, we need to be a blessing. Let's buy her meal. And come to find out, the money that that lady saved because her meal was paid for allowed her to go to a Thanksgiving gathering with her family and friends. God moved the Betichecks, the Giles, Corey Cummings, and dozens more to go to Honduras and partner with the Ministry of Mission Upreach. God moved our whole church to give over $100,000 for our Call to Light ministry. God moved Christian Works for Children. Get this. God moved Christian Works for Children to decide when they were going to move into Fort Worth to place their office where? Right across the street from our church building, because they want to partner with us in the ministry of reconciliation to families and children. God moved the leaders of this church and the leaders of Richmond Avenue Church of Christ this year to have a unity service after the shootings in Dallas. That was just a powerful, powerful moment of worship. And that's just a tip of the iceberg, folks. There's more stories. There's more ways that God has moved this body of believers. And let me just share a video with you that Joan Smith helped put together of three more people who God moved this year. One, God moved to be involved in serving our community. Another God moved to come out of grief and find hope. And then another God moved to leave addiction and to find purpose. Watch this video with me.
How beautiful the hands that serve, the wine and the bread.
I'm Mac McAllister. This is my wife, Barbara. Several years ago, when we started our small group, we decided to reach out to do community service. So Barbara went online and did some research as to what was available. She found an organization called the Patriot House, which was part of the Presbyterian Night Shelter.
I got a hold of Harriet Willis, and she set us up, so that would be great. We could come over and serve dinner one night a month. Then from that, we became friends with Harriet, and she asked us if we could use any donations at our church. And so that's kind of how that started, as far as picking up donations at the Presbyterian Night Shelter.
Here, God has moved us in unbelievable ways. Tuesday before pantry, we would go to the Presbyterian Night Shelter, and we would get a trailer load of supplies to it. And it was such a blessing to our pantry and to our clothing room to get this supply of good, usable stuff that people that come through our pantry every Tuesday desperately need.
It's been a real joy in our lives, because we've been able to share with the neighborhood and the people that come through the pantry.
Absolutely, believe God led us to the Patriot House, which led us to the Presbyterian Night Shelter, which led us to this blessing. But it's God's love for the needy that makes this entire process work. And it was not, none of this is of our doing. It is something that we just opened the door and God was there with this opportunity. And it is a blessing to have the ability to reach out and serve the community, because I think that's what we're supposed to be doing.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and
prayer. Hi, I'm Toby Tindall, and we are members here at Southside Church of Christ, my whole family. This year has been a very tough year for us, and I lost my oldest daughter this year. She committed suicide, and the world just got a little too rough for her. So very challenging for my wife and my remaining two daughters. Very hard, very challenging time. My daughter, our last full day together, we went fishing, and I'm sorry, I get a little choked up when I talk about it, but she was picking wildflowers, and I found out that you need to stop in the world and pick those flowers and look that there's beauty all around you. And we need to spend more time looking at the beauty in the world and picking those wildflowers instead of in our daily routines of getting so busy and caught up in everything in the world. After my daughter's passing, I decided to just rethink everything. And so we invested basically everything we have, and we bought a little food truck called the Beignet Bus, and it's an actual little small school bus. And my daughters work with me, and my wife and I have date night on the Beignet Bus. We try once a month to come to the church and just donate and give, and if people want to share money with us, that's fine. If they don't have any money or they're struggling, we're there to give back to them. So it's a fun thing. And we get to interact, and it also brings people that are suffering next to people that are having good things in their life. And those people are able to have conversations and interact and have fellowship. God's only going to give you what you can handle. And this year, he challenged me. I also heard from Steve that I love what God's doing in your life. and how he has shaped and changed my world from sheer just depression and just the loss of a child is the most devastating thing I think any human can go through, and how to pick me up through that. And like I was saying, go out there and look at the flowers and smell the flowers and see the world and see neighbors and friends and have fellowship. Okay, if I can start in my home with my family and then spread that love to my neighbors and spread that love to customers and just keep on growing it, and hopefully they spread that same message up to others. I think putting faith in God and letting God work in your world and work in your family, I think that's the answer.
God is able. He will never fail. He is.
I'm Cheryl Marshall. I'm a three-time felon, and they had the Hope class there. And I started going as soon as I got there, and Lloyd and Glenda Bennett, who do the Hope class jailhouse ministry there, baptized me. When I came up out of the water, I had an overwhelming joy, and it was the beginning of my new journey with Christ. As I laid in my bunk at night, I talked to him like I'm talking to you. I laid my plan. I laid it out with him and prayed every step of the way. As soon as I got to the VOA, I filled out my church pass. I didn't know they had a Hope class here. See, that's how God works. He gave me hope in county jail. He gave me hope. Again, he knew what he was doing. He always does. He has a plan. But I came to church, and the moment I walked into the doors, I sat down in the chapel. I knew this was my home. I had an overwhelming, and what I call it is I call it God bumps. It's when you get that little, the Holy Spirit, that feeling. I call it God bumps. And I had those. And I sat there and I looked at Steve standing up there at the pulpit, and I said, this is my home. This is where I belong, and I'm never leaving. God has kept me, he's kept me grounded, but everything just falls into place, and I can't explain why. I prayed for a car. I went through the process to get my driver's license back. You know, I want to help. You need to go to a meeting. I'll go get you and bring you to church. I'll go get you and take you to an AA or an NA meeting. And so someone said, you're like Uber. And I said, I'm Uber for God, you know, because I prayed for that car for that purpose. And so I just thought it was funny, Uber for God. You know, it was just fit perfect. I can go to these other meetings all day long, okay? AA, NA. They're great. They're wonderful. But there is nothing like God. God is my foundation. That's what keeps me clean and sober, is God.
For the Lord, our God is able. For the Lord, our God.
There's a lot going on social media past few days about how 2016 was the worst year ever because of all of the things that have happened this year, celebrities who have passed away, and the divisive politics that we've seen, and the shootings and the protests and all of this kinds of stuff. And I think we could honestly say here at Southside that 2016 has had its challenges for us as a body here. We've lost some people here who have passed on to go be with the Lord, some people who we love very dearly, good people. Think about Jim Barton, who we remembered on Thursday, and that's a big loss. He cast a big shadow on this body, and there's others that we could think of as well. There's also people here who have struggled or who are continuing to struggle with disease, that were diagnosed with something during 2016, and it's been a struggle ever since. And then there are some who are struggling or have struggled with spiritual issues, who have succumbed to temptations, who have fallen away, or those who have just been wrestling with difficult things in their life. And so we need to be honest about things, that Satan is at work, church. And in 2016, he was at work. And he was doing whatever he could to stop us from being a church moved by the mission of God. But when I watch this video and I think about the stories of this past year, I have to also say God has been at work too in 2016. He's been at work in our hearts, and he's been at work in our lives and our souls, and he's been moving us, church. And I don't know what all of that's going to mean. I don't know, as we enter into 2017, as God has moved us and convicted us, I don't know what that's going to mean. It might mean that he is preparing us for future ministries in 2017 that we don't even know about right now. But I know God has been working on our hearts. And he's been stirring our souls, trying to get us on point with him, to be willing to say, Lord, where you go, I will follow. I mentioned at the very beginning of this year that if you're looking for a mascot for 2016, I think a good mascot would have been Reepa Cheep. Reepa Cheep is the diminutive mouse in the Chronicles of Narnia, in that series written by C.S. Lewis. And I love Reepa Cheep. I love this guy, because especially in the book, The Voyage of John Treader, because he's small, but he's got a big heart. He's kind of like Rudy. You know, he's small, but he's got a big heart. And he is committed to the mission. And in The Voyage of John Treader, he's on this boat, and they're supposed to be heading east. And there starts to become this discussion about whether they should continue going east or whether they should turn back. And I love this quote of Reepa Cheep. He says, while I can, I sail east in the Dawn Treader. And when she fails me, I paddle east in my coracle. When she sinks, I shall swim east with my four paws. And when I can swim no longer, if I have not reached Aslan's country or shot over the edge of the world in some vast cataract, I shall sink with my nose to the sunrise. I love that spirit that says this is the mission. And he has courage and he has bravery and honor. And he says, I'm committed to the mission. And if the boat turns around, I find my own boat. And if I can't find a boat, then I'll use my own paws. And if I can't use my paws anymore, I'll die. But I'll die committed to the mission. God has a mission, church. And you've been invited to join him in that. And God's been working on your heart and mine so that we might be a part of his work in the world. And can we be like Reepa Cheep that says, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm committed. But I want to bring good tidings. I want to proclaim salvation. I want to say to Zion, your God reigns. I'm committed to the mission. Are we willing to do that as we head into 2017? Let me lead us in prayer. God, we want to pause right now and just say thank you. Thank you for what you have done in 2016. The year hasn't been easy, Lord. We've shared already about grief and people who we've lost, and that's going to be painful for a while. We know that there have been difficult times in people's lives this past year. But Lord, we've also seen and recounted so many wonderful, wonderful stories of how you've been at work in 2016, how you've been doing good things, bringing about hope and a future. And so Lord, we want to entrust ourselves to you as we begin this new year. We want to recommit ourselves, renew ourselves, to have that spirit of bravery and courage and honor that says, Lord, where you lead, even if the road may be a little tough, I'm going to follow because I'm committed to the mission. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to have our time of invitation. And it may be that as I've been talking about all of these things that God has been doing in 2016, you're thinking, God really hadn't been doing much in my life. I haven't been letting him do much in my life. And maybe today, January 1st, 2017, is a day of renewal for you. And we're going to have our ministers and elders surround this auditorium. I encourage you to walk to one of them and just let them pray over you. Let them pray a prayer of renewal, that this year can be a year where you're listening to God and you're following Him. Or maybe you're ready to be baptized into Christ, to turn over a new leaf, to become a new person in Jesus. This would be a good day to do it on. Just come to the front when we stand and sing. Let's stand at this time. Let's sing.